want you to be careful about how you use your words. Don't commit to things you can't do. Don't commit to things just to please people. Don't say you're going to do something if you're not going to do it. And bit by bit, some of the more phantasmagorical aspects of one's personality drop away. And you don't say, I'm going to give up smoking, if the true intention inside of you is, no, we're not. Nobody cares if you smoke or don't smoke. All that's important is whether or not you want to give up smoking. But once you are ready to do it, then you're going to step with self-confidence in doing it. But that self-confidence can only be there if first you've begun to develop a lifestyle where you follow through on your commitments. You follow through on that energy pattern that says, I'm moving into change. One of the greatest reasons for a lack of self-confidence is a lack of an ability in an individual to accept change. And change is a natural part of living. People who do not experience change are usually not growing spiritually. They're not developing as a human being. Once you get comfortable with accepting change, then when things begin to alter around you, it will not rattle your sense of identity. Because people look at things outside of themselves and see the world outside of themselves, they project a part of themselves into the physical environment that they live in. They project a part of themselves into their possessions. And so if you change the environment or the home they live in or the possessions that they have around them or the personalities that are a part of their life, it rattles their identity. If you have already begun to bring the world inside of you, you will be this assured, confident, complete person, and you won't see yourself inside the sports car as an image of yourself. You will look at the sports car and you will say, I drive this sports car because it gives me pleasure, but I am not the sports car. I live in this home because it has a roof and it keeps the rain out and it's pleasing and I like it. But the house is not me. Another example of how people externalize their life is the way that often men identify with a sports team, a football team. If the football team wins, the individual feels stronger, they feel better. But of course, they haven't changed at all. Whether that football team wins or loses is nothing to do with their life, really. But when they externalize themselves, they live and breathe a part of themselves in circumstances that they don't control. As a spectator in the sports ground, you have no control over whether the game goes one way or the other. And so you can see that when a person is overtly externalized, they are constantly giving a part of their power to something else. If you love football, then by all means enjoy the sport that you love. But when you can pull out of identifying your strength with the team's result, then you have won back a quantum of your confidence, a quantum of your own power. As you move towards this positive projection of your own energy in the world, you're going to want to use a technique called creative visualization, which is basically the idea of creating positive fantasies in the mind to reprogram the negative ones. Creative visualization is a matter of seeing yourself going through the motions of the upcoming event and seeing those motions positive, productive, allowing you that confidence that it will be okay. And so if you are setting out on a new project into a new territory, you're going to see yourself moving through that territory and you're going to see people reacting to you positively. Let us say that there's a person that you work with that causes you great amounts of difficulty, and you are constantly in some kind of interpersonal conflict with that individual. The way you create visually a new image is to see that person talking to you at the office or at your place of work. You see them talking to you positively, responding to your energy, and not causing you the problems that normally take place. When two individuals come into conflict, what they're usually doing is they're usually battling over some kind of opinion of one kind or another. The supervisor will say, you are not creating enough product, or you're not producing enough in this shift, and that's his opinion. You have your opinion, which says, I'm working as hard as I can. Both opinions are right to the individual, and there's always a middle ground where you can resolve the conflict. Of course, if the conflict is not resolvable, then you may have to pull yourself out of that position, and that is another option or choice that you have available to you. As you develop this creative visualization, you can begin to project energy to that person at work and see them change. It is almost as if you surround them with light. You surround them with this infinity that is projected from within you, and as their infinity expands because you've projected it to them, they will move off their opinion a little bit. And as they move off their opinion, if you then perhaps make some move towards reconciling the situation with them, if you come out of a little more infinity, out of a little more limitlessness, the situation will resolve itself. As you develop creative visualization, you're going to be able to get into the habit of putting your energy out ahead of yourself. And even though you do not know the exact circumstances that you will find yourself in, you can visualize and create a feeling of resonating positivity. And that is basically what projecting self-confidence is. To be confident, you do not have to know exactly what will happen to you in any one given set of circumstances or events. All you have to know from within your own creative visualization and your own feelings is that no matter what happens, I will feel assured and in control at all times. As you begin to work on establishing this control, you're going to want to be able to constantly look at each situation and ask yourself, am I the person in charge here, this time, right now? And as you look at that, you may see areas where you absolutely do not control, and that is why the self-confidence isn't there. You're looking to become as independent as possible. Any time that you have to rely on another person, any time that you have to give away your power to another person, you become subjected to their destiny rather than yours. And so if you look at your life, you can see that inside that life pattern, the more of the marbles that you have in your own bag, and the less that are being held by somebody else, the more power you have. And so, as you begin to look at becoming independent, each time you make a step in that direction, the confidence builds. It's very hard to feel 100% confident, say, when another person controls how you receive money, or when another person controls how you live, or where you go, or what you do with your life. And so part of developing this totally rounded individual is beginning to change your lifestyle so that more and more and more of it enters back under your own auspices or control. As you do that, you're going to then want to develop your world experience. And that can be done, obviously, in many different ways. You can expand your world experience by, say, meeting more people, understanding that meeting people in itself is a resource. The more people you know in the world, the more people that you have interacted with, the more familiar you are with the physical planet. And if you know people and you have connections and you have contacts, it allows you greater resources. Often as individuals, we don't understand that meeting people is a part of abundance or making money. You can only make money from human beings because they're the only ones who believe in it. If you only know 12 people, it's hard for you to feel self-confident that you have everything in order. If you then go out and you make a point of meeting 500 more and becoming their friend or at least interacting with them socially, then suddenly your hemisphere of influence begins to expand. I know many people that have started businesses where they've had a super idea and the business was neat and it looked like it was really going to fly. And they got off to a fairly good start, and then sort of 3 or 6 or 9 months into the project, the whole thing fell apart. And the reason it did was they used up all the people they knew and they didn't create a secondary or tertiary hemisphere of influence. As you begin to understand that going out and meeting people is a part of creating your base, you'll do it almost as a discipline. And you can meet people in associations, in clubs, in churches. You can meet them as part of the education program, of business, social events, discotheques, wherever it is you want to go meet people. But the point is that you have to be in a relationship with them of one kind or another in order for you to claim that person as a part of your hemisphere of influence. As you keep moving outwards and you keep expanding who you are, you're constantly picking up more and more information about the planet that you live on. And so when I go into a new city, I always try to discover what is going on in this city. And I visit the art galleries, I find out where the cinemas are, I discover what restaurants are noted to be good places to eat, I look at what is the relationship of the airport to the city, where's the police station, where's the hospital, where does the motorway system begin and end, and I familiarize myself with it and I expand my hemisphere of influence to create a new city. And now I can go to a city that I haven't been to for 2 years, and I remember, I know exactly where those places are. I know exactly how the road system works, and I'm confident that nothing is going to go wrong when I arrive at the city. As you make expanding this hemisphere of influence a natural part of your life, the confidence builds. But it takes discipline, does it not? Because it means that you're going to have to go out and present yourself in the city or present yourself to these people. And that, of course, again, takes a quantum of courage for you to press out and to make your hemisphere of influence more exciting and larger and have more variety and more beauty in it. As you move out of a lack of confidence or not having all of the confidence you would like, and you're moving into a more assured space in your life, you're going to have to set up in your feelings an image of yourself that isn't quite true. You're going to have to more or less pretend that you're powerful when you're not totally there yet. It's a system that I like to call fake it till you make it, because it creates a feeling of I'm confident, even though there's a little part of you that absolutely knows that you're not confident. But as you begin to play that fake it till you make it energy inside of you, you express that to the outside world. If you are nervous, you try not to show it. If you have fear, you control it. If you are uncertain, just walk a little slower. But begin to resonate this confidence to the outside world, and they begin to respond. Because when you look at people, I can absolutely assure you that they have the same kind of lack of confidence that everybody else has. They might be striding along the street sort of powerfully swinging their briefcase or whatever they're doing, but inside that facade is a person that suffers exactly the same problems that we all do. The point about the fake it till you make it energy is that by expressing confidence outwardly, gradually you obtain the confidence within. And that's the key. You can't say, God, please flutter down here and make me confident. You just have to begin to express it. I often think that a lot of confidence deals with how people accept you. And for people to accept you, you have to put yourself in their shoes and experience yourself with them. If you are open and friendly and cheery and positive and your appearance is clean and tidy, they will accept you because that's basically what they want to be or what they are already. So often, a person will go out into society and they will carry with them all sorts of aspects of their personality that are not pleasing to the people. And then that person will interact with the outside world, receive a negative reaction, and it will rattle their confidence. As you step out in the world, I want you to look in a mirror and look at what do you look like? Are you groomed? Are you clean? Do you look threatening to the people? Do you look repulsive to the people? Are you going to scare them off in some way? Do you look like you're the owner of some incredibly exotic disease? How are you going out there? If you imagine each time you leave your home that you're going to some special event or some special meeting, you're going to begin to create inside of you an idea of you being special. This is not an ego trip where you prance around pretending, but it's more like this is a special day. Me going out and going downtown and doing the shopping is a special event, and you don't know who you're going to meet. and you don't know what is going to happen. And maybe while you're doing the shopping, a friend is going to say to you, "Oh, gosh, it's so nice to see you. Look, I'm meeting these really important people in half an hour, and I want you to make that connection. Will you come with me?" Well, if you've gone shopping in your pajamas, you can't. And so we're looking at basically making the whole of your life an expression of the power that you have. And I think that's important, because how people react to you is going to very, very much impinge upon how strong you feel or how confident you feel about yourself. One of the areas where people feel a lack of self-confidence is in sexuality. And one of the things that I've discovered about teaching people a mastery of life is that very, very few people know anything about sex. Sex is one of those interesting things that anyone can sign up for with absolutely no experience at all. Let us say, for example, your area of nervousness or lack of self-confidence is in the sexual area. I would ask you, what do you know about it? What do you know about the reproductive organs of a male, the reproductive organs of a female? What do you know about the nervous system, pleasure? What do you know about the way the whole thing works in just the biology of it? What do you know about interpersonal relationships? What do you know about people's feelings? Do you know what the other person, the member of the opposite sex, do you know what that other person wants? Do you know what pleases them? And again, you're looking at, are you not, an area where perhaps there's a lack of familiarity. Once you understand what that other person is going through, what they are, biologically, emotionally, mentally, in their feelings, then all of a sudden what you bring to the event begins to give you an added confidence about the event. And that to me is important. And I can watch people go through their lives working in certain areas or experiencing or expressing themselves as human beings in certain areas, and they never bother to go find out what it's all about. And when you don't know, it causes you to feel uncertain. So, as you look at that, you can see that it really doesn't matter where this lack of confidence may be, or where it is that you want to strengthen yourself. You're looking at creating this positivity as an absolute discipline in your life. If people say to you, "It's a lousy day, it's raining," you say, "I like the rain. It helps the crops to grow." And if people say to you, "The economy's falling apart," you say, "I don't see it like that. My dad just got a job at double the wages for half the hours." And it doesn't matter if it isn't really true, just as long as you begin to express that kind of positivity. The whole of the world is extremely negative, and that is because their mindset is extremely negative. When you begin to push against that, all of a sudden you're beginning to put purity and light into your life. And that's all we're looking for. We're looking for you moving forward and you having the satisfaction that you are growing, that there is something different going on. As you move through life, there are going to be things that you want to achieve. You're going to have goals and you're going to have dreams. Things that you feel, gosh, wouldn't it be marvelous if I could create that in my life? As you get clear about which goals you want to achieve, you begin to set them up in your mind in this creative visualization process. And you begin to move towards them. You have to be able to feel that the goal is already granted, that that goal is already inside your feelings. If you want to be the owner of a Rolls Royce, you have to know what is a Rolls Royce. If you know a Rolls Royce, it will help you own it. The thing about a Rolls Royce is that it smells like no other car in the world. And the reason it smells different to other cars is because the leather in a Rolls Royce is tanned by a company in England called the Colony Brothers. And they have tanned leather for generation upon generation. And their leather is superlative to anything else that exists. And when you get inside a Rolls, it has this opulent leather feeling to it. There's a silence as the car moves. They say that at 60 miles an hour, all you can hear is the ticking of the clock. Okay, let us say that the Rolls Royce is something you want. What I would suggest to you is, you go down to the Rolls Royce showroom, and you get inside this Rolls, and you sniff it. And when the salesperson comes up to you and says, "Can I help you?" you say, "Nope, I'm just sniffing this car." And the guy says to you, You sniff in the car? You say, yeah, this is how I choose my cars. I come in and I sniff them first. And once you've gone into a Rolls and you've smelt the feeling, you've sat behind the wheel, you've listened to the click, click, click of the clock, you begin to create inside the fantasy of your mind, and remember, it thinks it's real, the ability for you to possess that car. And as you do that, it allows the energy of that car to come towards you. As you create goals, you have to be able, in your feelings, to detach somewhat from the goal. So often as humans, we program ourselves into these very, very tight time frames which say, by next Thursday, I've got to achieve this. By Saturday, I've got to be here. By 3 months later, I've got to be there. And by June, I have to be married, or whatever it might be. And that is a function of the intellect trying to guess how flow is going to come to you. When you can pull out of the intellect dominating the situation, you can set up a goal and you can say, by next Thursday, I will have achieved this. And you can see it happening, you can feel it happening, you're confident about it being there, and you begin to move towards it. But as you begin to move towards it, it's important for you to release the attachment or the emotion that you have about the goal. In other words, by next Thursday, I will achieve this much. However, if I get there and I haven't achieved this much, I will achieve something else, and that'll be fine as well. And so as you pull out of the attachment and you pull out of the emotion, then all of a sudden, the goals don't become this onerous chore that you have to complete. And when you don't complete, you begin to get down upon yourself and you say, gosh, I'm not a good person. I didn't complete this much in this time frame. Sometimes things take longer than you think, even if you take that into account. Sometimes the goal that you think is important today, as you approach that goal or you approach that objective, it changes. And what was important a month ago suddenly is not so important. But you had to travel along the path in order for you to discover the direction that you wanted. And so no matter what you're doing and no matter where you're heading in life, the important thing is to head out, understanding that you will never know and you'll be happy in the not knowing. You're just going to walk out balanced, in control, not rushing, not pushing, not forcing. You're going to just move through the physical plane and allow things to come to you. When you can do that, then life becomes this joyous simplicity. I'm not saying non-action. I'm saying have the action, get in the marketplace, get into the circumstances, but don't push, don't struggle, don't force your emotions to give you those things you need. And then what happens is, if you're not emotionally attached to the objective, one, you can release it, and two, you're more open to experience or to accept something totally different. Isn't it true that often in your life, you've set out for something, and as you set out on this journey to get something, you were proposed or somebody came along with a proposal or a good idea that turned you off in a different direction. But you had to be on the path in order for that opportunity to find you. And so begin to move out and begin to allow yourself the time and the patience so that when things change and when the flow begins to become a part of your life, you can accept it. This feeling of free flow is an old Chinese concept where you allow nature to provide for you. You allow the life of the people, the world, to give you the things you want. And when you begin to become confident that the world will provide for you, that you do have the energy and the wherewithal, then suddenly it begins to give it to you. And I think that is only really a matter of developing a sense of infinity inside of you where you know that you are limitless. And it's not bravado. It's not like, I know I'm limitless. Because in many ways, that whole energy partly says, I'm using all of this bravado to hide the fact that I don't feel limitless. But in fact, there are limitless opportunities for you. They may not be limitless from the point that you find yourself at this moment in your life. But as you move towards them, the opportunities will be there. And I think that's what's important. One final part of self-confidence that I would like to mention is that often, at the end of the day, the mind will have stored inside itself all the negative happenings and all the niggly situations that have gone on. And during the night, it will replay those difficult situations in caricature, in an enlarged and more phantasmagorical way. And often you will wake up with a feeling of being disturbed, of being unsure, of being fearful about the condition of your body, or fearful about your security at work. When you can understand that that's what the mind does, you can see that if you have a negative gene, more times than not, you'll be able to link it into some event that happened in the previous day. And so if you have this totally ghoulish dream where, I don't know, you're skinning a neighbor's cat, you might wake up and be totally repulsed and think, my gosh, what's gone wrong with my life? But in fact, it was just the way that the mind illustrated to you that perhaps you weren't treating your cat or your animals in the way that you ought, or that perhaps your respect for the life around you, the life force around you, was not all that it should be. And then the mind, the inner mind, makes that big and huge like a caricature as a way of kind of getting your attention to remind you or to show you about something that's going on in your life. And as you begin to wake up in the morning and you have that negativity there from the night before, you can easily link it into what's gone before in the interpersonal relationships or your fears about money or a lack of self-confidence in whatever area that might be. And you can see that it was just the way that the psyche or the inner mind was reminding you. It isn't real. It isn't true. It's a part of that overall fantasy. As you become this powerful, rounded individual, full of self-confidence, assured, expressing and projecting that out for the benefit of yourself and the people that are pulled into your life, remember these things. The inner mind cannot tell the difference between fact and fantasy. So whatever you put in there becomes real to it. As you go into uncertainty, take time out to familiarize yourself with the situation, and that will help your confidence. You can't go beyond a lack of self-confidence by just telling yourself, hey, pull yourself together, or hey, be confident. You have to use courage. And the way to use courage is to push up against your last known boundary and then establish a new territory. Once you have that new territory familiarized, then you're going to push up against the further territory, constantly expanding your hemisphere of influence, constantly making yourself into a larger, bigger, more experienced person. As that begins to become a natural part of your life, you're going to want to establish control over your life as much as possible, to become independent as possible, and you're going to come out of a feeling that even though you don't know what is going to happen to you, you do not have all of the circumstances of your life at your fingertips, you will always be at the right place at the right time, because you're going to go into it in a balanced way, you're going to know what you're doing, and you're going to have that whole sense of serenity and peace within you. When you can learn not to run, not to push, not to struggle, but to just walk gently through life, not only are you pulling more of life to you, perceiving more of life, but you have that sense of security. If you feel tired, if you feel negative, if you're in some kind of difficulty, then pull back. Allow yourself time to re-establish your strength over your feelings. If you happen to have a fight with a loved one as you're leaving for work, then stop. Don't get in that car. Pull back. Walk in the park for 5 minutes. Take a few breaths. Feel that confidence return inside of you. Most accidents happen when people are under some kind of emotional stress because they're expressing an energy that is out of control. And so if you get pulled out of control, not only are you going to take time to repair that and to rebuild your confidence, but you're also going to take time to establish inside your feelings what caused that out of control. What was it that you did? What was it that you said? How was it that you were acting that allowed the situation to come away from the balance that is now becoming an automatic part of your life? As that balance builds, and as that balance becomes a natural part of your life, you're going to affirm the strength you have. You're going to recognize the win situations that you've created for yourself in your life. And you're going to see that power exuding through every aspect of the way that you deal and interact. That action, that success story, becomes an affirmation of this whole power that you have within yourself. And you gradually move out of uncertainty, nervousness, difficulty, into this complete and powerful, transcendent being in control of their life, knowing what they want, knowing where they're going, moving slowly and peacefully through life, understanding it. And then life becomes a joy, the difficulties fall away, and all that you see around you is beauty and strength. Thank you.
This is the end of the side. Please fast forward.